The problem we did have with him, he's not the quickest in the world, he's not the best tackler in the world, he's not the best finisher in the world. He was never that quick, he was never that aggressive, he was never that skillful. He slotted into the side without any problems at all.
You are listening to The Soccer Show on your radio. All the latest football news. All the results from home and abroad. The Soccer Show on your radio.
Hello and welcome to the 30th edition of The Soccer Show, podcasting to you live from the GRETB studio here in Ireland. And on today's show, we will be speaking with Kinvara United's coach Dave Travis. And later on in the second half, chat to music producer Adrian Sherwood to find out which football team he follows. We will also be joined by today's team, Debbie Wright and Pat Neary, together with music reporters Michael Brown and Sharon Dolan-Darcy, as they bring you right up to date with all the latest news, views and results. So do stay with us for the next 60 minutes or so as we share football, music and talk with you. And myself, Jerry Marl-Kerrins, will keep an eye on the time, plus hand out the bubbly cards to officiate the show. So without any further wasted time, let's blow the whistle and kick off today's show with a roundup of all the football news.
You are tuned into the soccer show.wordpress.com. All the results from home and abroad. All the latest football news.
The weekend report. Let's find out where the 3 points were won and lost.
The soccer show.
So, bid partners, the Football Association of Ireland and Dublin City Council, have welcomed the news that Dublin has been selected as one of the 13 cities that will host UEFA Euro 2020. It's being staged across Europe to mark the 60th anniversary of the competition, creating a pan-European festival of football that Ireland will now play a key part in delivering. The event will see a renewal of the successful partnership model used to host the UEFA Europa League final in Dublin in 2011, while across the water, Wembley Stadium in London has been chosen to host both the semis and final match of the tournament.
Well, welcome to Pat, welcome to Debbie. So what do you think to that then? Ireland's got the big occasion there coming up in 2020.
Yeah, well, it's the whole thing is, it's all over Europe, isn't it? It's various cities in Spain and... The 2020 Euro championships are going to be staged throughout Europe. It's not like
13 cities.
Yeah.
And of course, well, Wembley there, that seems to have triumphed in getting the semi-finals and the final. So
yeah, the fact that Dublin has it is, yeah, it's good.
Okay, move on. Liverpool, they've moved a step closer to receiving the go-ahead to increase the capacity of Anfield from 44,000 to 54,000, so a 10,000 increase there, as their proposal has been recommended for approval by the council planners. The Premier League club will know if their request has been given the all-clear on September the 23rd. Liverpool plan to begin redevelopment at the end of the year in December, and it is estimated to take 20 months to be fully completed. And I see across the city, Everton have also got plans to build a new ground. And the Liverpool mayor, Joe Anderson, said the stadium planned for Walton Hall Park will be a catalyst to spark regeneration in the nearby area. And club chairman Bill Kenwright said the chance to build a minute away from our beloved Goodison was too good an opportunity to miss. So everybody's moving in and around Liverpool. What do you think to that?
So what happens when it's being developed to the club? I suppose they do it out of season.
You wouldn't miss either of them teams in the Premier League anyway, do you know?
Well, you wouldn't. You know, if it takes 20 months, what do they do when it's all...
Basically, if they're redeveloping the ground, I mean, you are going to get, you know, one side of the ground being limited capacity.
I see, okay, but it's still...
It still acts, yeah. It's still active, all right. You know, okay. I mean, like, I remember when... was it Arsenal?
Yeah, who had the
mural of all these supposed fans,
faces.
So that for television it looked as if, you know, it was just a sort of very cheap skate way of you know, saying that there's a crowd here,
and even though we can't fit them in.
20,000 faces and not a black one.
There wasn't one black.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Arsenal had a lot of black players at the time.
So
they had to have the artist come back and do a bit of a touch up on the job, you know, to bring it up to date. Like, yeah. I was wondering, Galway, I was at the Galway match on Friday again, and they've got a a stone brick kind of breeze block wall around the ground. That would be very good too. Paint on there, I think, Miura, I think something if they were listening could a suggestion from here. But and QPR also, their a car supermarket has said it will not enter into any future talks with Queen's Park Rangers over its plan for a new stadium in northwest London. The football club wants to build a 40,000 seat ground at Old Oak Common as also as part of a regeneration of the area, creating 24,000 new homes. So QPR on the move there as well, by the look, away from Shepherd's Bush.
Mm-hmm. And would you know where that Old Oak Common place is?
No, I wouldn't know, but even Shepherd's Bush is difficult to find, really. So you kind of see it when you go over the West Way there, don't you, really? But QPR, they might not still be in the Premier League after the results that they're having.
Well, they want to improve very fast.
So, Debbie, what's going on with FIFA?
Well, Frenchman Jerome Champagne has confirmed he plans to challenge Sepp Blatter for the FIFA presidency. Blatter announced his intention to seek a fifth term in charge last week. Former diplomat Champagne worked for FIFA for 11 years as an executive before leaving in 2010. So he needs the backing of five FIFA member football associations, but does not have to disclose who they are until official declarations are made in January.
One of them to him, really.
What, just for the name?
Just for the name. I wonder if he'll give it back, or is that counted as a bribe as well, you know? But what do we think about that? Corruption charges, never, huh?
Probably not, although I would assume that the Irish FIFA member Paddy Guinness will support him.
One of them for Paddy Guinness as well, you know. Gonna show you what I get drunk on. And what else is going on there? I heard there's something about the English Football Association chairman Greg Dyke. He's has to return some gifts, does he?
Is this more corruption, is it?
I think so.
Oh, that's the watches thing, is it?
Watch has been given out by Brazil during the World Cup, although Platini insists he will not return his.
Greg Dyke has said he will return a £16,000 watch given to him by the Brazilian Football Confederation.
Mm. I mean, that would buy a lot in Brazil, wouldn't it? A £16,000 watch, really.
Well, I'm not so sure. I don't know what the exchange rate in Brazil is. But I know the other big football FIFA thing breaking today is the fact that Qatar looks as if the leaks coming from the FIFA people is that they've made a mistake in offering the World Cup. So that's going to cause quite a stir, because they're going to have to actually get another country to run it, and
well, you know who that will be. Bound to be England, isn't it, really?
Well,
to the vote, weren't they last time, I think?
I think the problem will be I don't know how what the timeline is, but I mean, like, it's fairly short, so I don't know. Anyway, that's the big news, and that's a huge. I mean, there's going to be huge compensation paid, I would say.
Sure. Well, it was a silly time to do it.
The reason they're going on is purely health issues. That if there was any fan that had heat stroke, that there could be a claim against FIFA. Even though Qatar had said that they were bringing in fantastic, brand new, groundbreaking air conditioning in the grounds and stuff like that, it's not so much just the grounds, it's travelling to and from the matches.
So was that due for 2020, was it? No,
2022.
Okay.
I think.
Right. Well, maybe Dublin will get it.
If it was Dublin, it would be Ireland and Britain, I presume.
Yeah. And I was just wondering about them watches. Maybe they're giving them back because they don't have Fergie time on them or something. You know, being football watches, not that extra few minutes. Maybe they're too on time.
They're old watches now.
So, that's what that lot are up to, really. And then we see Nottingham in England. It's been chosen as the first city of football ahead of its rivals, Manchester and Portsmouth. The three cities were selected by a group there from 22 bids because of Nottingham's commitment to promote the sport at grassroots level. And they'll now receive £1.6 million in national lottery funding to run a two-year pilot programme. So in the week of Brian Clough, I guess that's very good there for Nottingham.
Guess so.
Barcelona. They've named their training ground after former coach Tito Villanova. Who died sadly last April, age 45, for a long illness. So a very nice thing to do there, to name him.
That's it.
I do wonder about why Fulham, are they getting their bad luck? Is it since they've taken the Michael Jackson statue away, you know?
Well, they seem to be going from crisis to disaster.
Worse, yeah, following Portsmouth and teams and such like really on the route. They've sacked the manager, as we know, Felix Magath, after a poor start. Johnny Giles and Eamon Dunphy, what have they been up to recently?
Not acting. or not going to acting classes, it would seem. I just heard about this. I haven't seen it, but...
I haven't seen it either, no. A commercial for a chocolate brand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know which one it is.
Yeah.
The one that... They do very good adverts normally. I think they did the one with the eyes, didn't they?
They did one with a gorilla playing drums.
Oh,
they?
That's right. Yeah, they did, yeah. Cardiff City... we all know about their owner there. Well, they've got rid of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Solskjaer.
Apologies, Ole Gunnar. After 9 months in charge, so not very long there, the announcement was made after he met the chairman. They're very low in the championship, lost a lot of games.
Yeah.
Defenders Danny Gabaldon and Scott Young, I think, have taken over temporarily. The Thai consortium have successfully completed a takeover of Reading.
Okay.
Be good food there in the takeouts maybe now and in the ground. The Championship Club have confirmed that. A partnership group led by a businesswoman, Kunying Sesisma Shrivikorn.
Okay.
Yeah. First announced in July, and she'll now become co-chairman with Sir John Majeski, who's been with the Berkshire Club since 1990. Nottingham Forest, Dev, what do you read about them?
Fans will mark the 10-year anniversary of Brian Clough's death by wearing 1,000 iconic green jumpers during the Capital One Cup clash at Tottenham on Wednesday. So apparently official supporters travelling to the game will be given replicas of his famous green round neck jumper to wear in memory of him.
Yeah, great. Be quite good. They're all wear green, look like a load of goalies in the ground, I suppose, behind him, you know.
Yeah.
I see Scotland, they missed out on the automatic qualification for the 2015 Women's World Cup after losing 2-0 to Scandinavians Sweden. An early headed goal there from Therese Wogan and Lotta Schelin, a strike from her sealed top spot in the group four for the hosts. Scotland now will contest the playoffs with either Italy, Ukraine or Holland as their possible opponents. And the Republic of Ireland legends. They lost 3-0 away to the Czech Republic in a match last Friday, despite the team playing very well and raising some funds for charity. The squad's next fixture is this Friday, the 26th, where they take on the Wales over-14s international team. And all proceeds from these games go to the Cystic Fibrosis Association Ireland, which the PFAI are proudly supporting. The tickets are €5 per adult, available at the gate, with free entry for under-16s, and the kick-off is 5 p.m. with free car parking available. So if you can, go to support that for a very good cause.
And one of the all-time great stag do ideas was spotted out and about in London last night after a group of Cardiff fans were seen celebrating an impending wedding in full Vincent Tan outfits. So they took the streets dressed up as the club's owner in replica kits, sunglasses and bushy moustaches,
oh,
I believe.
Very good, might catch on all round, you know. So that's it, really. Come to the end of our news wrap-up for now. Thanks to Debbie and thanks to Pat. And what we're going to move on to now is our Song of the Week, which this week is being reported by Michael Brown.
Walk on through the wind.
Song of the Week.
Blue is the colour. Football is the
Song of the Week. Song of the Week.
Ball, 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 footy, footy, footy is the single version of the footy song from The Adam and Joe Show, featuring Adam Buxton and Joe Cornish. The British television comedy series, broadcast on Channel 4 between 1996 and 2001, followed their appearance on TV Takeover in 1995, and soon after, they created The Adam and Joe Show for the same channel.
Footy, footy, footy. Go, go, go. Go, go.
The show condensed sketches, interspersed with links, filmed in what was purportedly Adam and Joe's bedsit, but was actually a shared performance space above a branch of the Body Shop in Brixton. Although the two comedians were involved in other projects, the Adam and Joe Show remains their most popular and well-known creation, and it gained a cult following. The most memorable weekly sketches included toy movies, where the lads would recreate a popular feature film using stuffed toys and elaborate cardboard sets. Vinyl Justice was a skit featuring the duo dressed as policemen to raid rock stars' homes and examine their record collections for embarrassing or surprising items. The star would then be forced to dance to the shameful discoveries. In the first series of the show, Adam's father Nigel Buxton, aka Bad Dad, reviewed music videos by contemporary groups that he knew nothing about. Strips of different colours, it helps you sort out one from the others. When the game gets dirty, the ref becomes all shirty. When the team's changing, it's time to talk tactics with my friends. The show regularly included songs co-written with a school friend, Zach Sandler. The most memorable included The Footy Song, an ode to football which was sung and written by people who clearly didn't know the sport. There was also a single of The Footy Song, and there were two versions of it. One of these was the league edition, and the other one was a World Cup edition. L-E-N-H-O-D-D-L-E-I-S-H-A-V-I-N-G-A-G-O-A-L Glenn Noddle is having a goal! Here for you now is the Adam and Joe Footy Song. See Rovers, I wear my Rovers pullovers. Nice. When I go see Leeds, they seem to achieve a lot of hard ball speeds. When I go see Nottingham, they don't seem like a lot of them. When I go see Chelsea, spend half the match in the pupil of a wee wee. Ball, 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 footy, footy, footy. Ball, ball, ball,
listening to The Soccer Show.
WordPress.com on your radio.
And thanks to Michael Brown there for that music report. It's amazing how the game creates such artistic talent. Now we can go inside football, and for this week I recently spoke with Kinvara FC coach Dave Travis after a practice match on the Kalina pitch in Kinvara.
You are listening to The Soccer Show.
WordPress.com on your radio.
And now, a Soccer Show special, Inside Football.
The Soccer Show on tour.
I'm joined now by Dave Travis, who's the coach for the Kinvara Under-14s team. Welcome, Dave, to the Soccer Show.
Thanks a million.
So we played a match today. Thanks for the match between the Under-13s. It was our inaugural game against your team. It was a fine match on a fine day.
It's beautiful, yeah. So hopefully it's been some help to the, you know, to the younger lads, because I know it's tough playing against bigger, stronger boys, but hopefully it was some use to you.
How long have you been a coach for the team?
Well, I used to coach over in Liverpool, so I got my FA qualifications over there, and my youngest lad was about 10 when he started playing for Colgar, so I coached them for about 5 years now, since my second boy has been playing for Kinvara for about the last 4 years.
Have you any tips for us?
Just try and involve as many of the boys as possible, and try and have. I always try and get the strongest boys to play as a core through the centre, and then try and rotate and bring on the lads who still have some way to go.
So I guess on a weather like this, it's really good. But when it gets kind of cold in the winter months, it's a bit tougher, is it, to get them all out to play?
Yeah, I think that if you're playing 9-a-side, you need a squad of about 16. If you're playing 11-a-side, you need to go to about 18 just to ensure that you have a team each week, in my experience, yeah.
And when's your first game of the season?
We played our first league game last week. We played a team from Connemara and won 4-2. Prior to that, we had a couple of challenge games. We were due to play a cup match today, but Colga couldn't fulfil the fixture, so they conceded. And over the summer, we played in a tournament over in Liverpool. So we haven't really stopped for the last 12 months.
Okay. You brought them all to Everton, did you, last year?
It was the Liverpool International Tournament. So we took two teams over, and they played against teams from the States and from the Liverpool area.
Right. Fantastic opportunity. You're an Everton fan, are you?
Of course, yeah. I'm from Liverpool, so everybody in Liverpool supports Everton. It's only the tourists who support Liverpool.
That's good. Who are they playing today?
Everton are playing West Brom today.
OK. Okay, big game, repeat of the 1968 Cup Final, huh?
Yeah, I was actually old enough to be in at that match. Yeah, hopefully a different result today, but yeah, hopefully.
Great to talk to you. Thanks for giving us the time, and thanks again for the match today. It was really good for our team just to get out there on the pitch and see them play.
Thanks a million. It was great to play the game today and a lovely sunny day, and all, I think about 35 boys from Ekinvara got a game today. So best of luck for the season, and I hope you do well.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you.
Cheers. Thanks, Jimmy.
The Soccer Show.
And thanks to Dave there for chatting with us, and he was happy that his team also had another good win following that interview this weekend. So now it's time for music, and this tune I'm about to play is from a seven-piece band called Fat Freddy's Drop, who hail from Auckland, New Zealand, and whose musical style is a combination of ska, reggae, dub and soul. And the title of this forthcoming track is aptly dedicated to the Kinvara FC under 13 squad, and it's called Hope for a Generation.
M and a U and an S-I-C.
It's music time.
Facebook at Sound Out Radio Station. Contact us at Twitter at Sound Out Radio 14. Email us at soundoutradio@gmail.com. The Soccer Show on your radio.
And a great dub mix for you there, and it's a perfect introduction to our next guest of the week slot. As after the break, it's time for me to get on the phone and dial London to speak with legendary record producer Adrian Sherwood to find out all about which team he supports.
Have you enough balls to listen to The Soccer Show every Monday on soundoutradio.wordpress.com? The Soccer Show, for fans only.
And now, our guest of the week.
Hello, Adrian. Hi, how are you? This is Jerry. Jerry Mark Currens. I'm ringing you all the way from the soccer show.
Hello, Jerry. How are you doing?
Not too bad. It's a long time since we met at the Arts Festival.
A long, long time ago.
It was, yeah. And then way back with the Dub Syndicate and African Head Charge back in the Greyhound in Hammersmith. I think it was Historia.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, delighted now to be joined by Adrian Sherwood, all the way from London. He's a record producer, has an exquisite, really, CV, a phenomenal CV, and he's been inspired by reggae, hip-hop and punk all his life. Welcome, Adrian, to The Soccer Show.
Thanks for having me. Good to be on.
First of all, start with a few football questions for you. And the first one I want to do is to ask you which team you support.
Well, West Ham's my team, and I used to love every week, like when Saturday comes, we'd go there and play a fiver and watch the games. You know, Frank McIlvenny, Cotty. It was really at the end of Billy Bond's career, Devonshire. It was amazing, and it was a real family club.
Yeah, so that's going back. That's the kind of 70s then going back there. They were in a couple of cup finals around that time as well, weren't they, and in Europe?
Yeah, but I don't even think that's important, really. I think the main thing was, you know, we never thought of ourselves as being the you know, the kingpins with the money and whatever else, but you'd go there and you could beat anybody on your day. We played football on the deck and everyone was proud of the club, as you know, how we played our game. That's what it was about, and everyone felt part of it.
I guess it had the tradition with Bobby Moore and Jeff Hurst and Martin Peters there from when England won the World Cup the time as well.
West Ham won the World Cup.
Exactly. Yeah, I do believe. I was in Upton Park myself at one time back. In fact, they beat Chelsea 3-0 and Billy Bond scored a hat-trick.
Well, you're not a Chelsea fan.
I am indeed, Adrian, oh, yeah.
Thing is now, you're rolling the tape forward and here we are.
That's it.
2014. The average age of a Chelsea season ticket holder is 52. The sad thing is, it's like going to the opera now. You know, it's like £100 a ticket. You take your son to a game, it's like going on a holiday to Spain. It's that expensive. So to be honest with you, I went to West Ham a couple of times last year. Once because I got in free, I got an invite by a friend, and another time we went there and I had a lovely time. But it's now everybody who used to go. I mean, you know, I'm not harping back like to a time, because there was racism and lots of unpleasant side to it in the 70s and 80s. But now it's become a whole different beast now. And all the people who used to be going there, they'll be sat in a pub watching Rupert Murdoch's television station.
It's very difficult to get tickets, and as you say, the cost. Are you from East London then?
No, I was born in UCH, which is north, you know, well, St Pancras. And I grew up in Buckinghamshire, and then I ended up living in East London in the early 80s for a decade, and that's when I started really going all the time to West Ham.
And who would be your favourite player then throughout the years then of being a Hammers fan?
I watched players come and go. I mean, I saw the arrival of Stuart Robson, who basically Ince modelled himself on, and the poor lad's career died really quickly. But I'm very happy to hear he's like kind of Beckham's right-hand man with the football coaching and stuff. Devonshire particularly, I loved watching him when we started with a really fast player getting hacked to pieces, but then ending it slowly. The great Liam Brady, we had him for his last game as well. I know you're broadcasting from Ireland. I've watched so many great, elegant players at Upton Park, obviously Brooking as well. And then Lions, you know, like Billy Bonds or Julian Dix and stuff. I wouldn't single any one player out.
No, just
like, the list goes on and on and on. I've got so many fond memories of people who we all identified with, all, like, you know, wonderful players. Now, I'm not, you know, it's cool we've got players, you know, but you look at Arsenal, you've got one player who's from outside of what is supposedly called the United Kingdom. You know, he's got, you know, loads and loads of players from overseas. It's very hard to get an affinity of a player that does a double, you know, 20-year stint at the club. now they'd be too vulgar if they asked for a testimonial because they own so much money.
Yeah, it's a different ball game to way back. But of course, as fans, we still support our team and love the game, and we remember the best ever moments. And so, I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles. That wasn't your inspiration for starting the On You sound or any of your music career.
Well, did you get the Buy Me Army album?
I did. I was just going to talk about that. That's right. 1985, yeah. Some of them you've got. Last year, you released the album, didn't you? The songs about football with Brian Moore and Irvin Welsh. Is that right?
Well, that was the Primal Scream. We did a track there, which was very, very popular among the Celtic fans. That was many years ago as well. That was like 20-odd years ago. But no, I did really like the idea of putting, like, you know, huge chants on dub rhythms and funk rhythms, which we went out sampling away games because you used to get the crowd singing more, you know, mad stuff on away games. And I got mates to record other teams on away games, and we transported them and commentary onto a load of rhythms. And we made the album The English Disease by the Barmy Army and Tackhead the Game and a couple of other things as well. And Primal Screams, The Big Man Meets the Scream Team, and On You Sound, which was the record you're talking about.
Right. I mean, obviously, there are a lot of performers and musicians I've come across in my time. They like football too. Did you ever play football when you were touring around?
Yeah, I was. Well, I'm right-handed and left-footed, and I played pretty good. My son was much better than me. He played for, like, Haringey and everything, but you get to a certain age and it gets very physical. That's why a lot of the great players, you know, the Roy Keane and all that lot, you know, and Ince and all those, they're all kind of from boxing families, you know, they're all, even Michael Owen and all that. You find it becomes a different beast when you get to a certain age. And it's, a lot of the time, it's not necessarily the greatest player of natural skill that comes through. It's the one that's got the most willpower to do it, you know. That's what I've gleaned from it all.
And in your studio now, would you have any pictures of any of the players up on the wall?
I've got Julian Dix, a signed Julian Dix on the wall,
right.
Looking like a complete idiot thug, being with like a kind of everyone clapping him, Paolo Di Canio at the front. It's quite amusing. I've got that in the studio, yeah. Apart from that, it's all mad pictures from my lucky life, really.
Yeah, fantastic career. I mean, some of the acts that you've worked with, like Sinead O'Connor, Primal Scream, Lee Scratch Perry, David Byrne, Prince Farah.
I've had a few good Irish ones. I worked with Donal Lunny, the producer, with Sinead, and then also with Shane McGowan. I did the album, I helped do that album, Croc of Gold, which isn't that well known, but he was not in the best of states at the time. And I did quite a good job on that, Croc of Gold album. And then Sharon Shannon, I worked with her again briefly, again on Sinead. I met her. She's a really good musician.
Oh, great. Well, we'll have to get you back over to Ireland, you know, soon enough for a gig.
Yeah, hopefully. And Rira's the great Irish rapper. I love Rira. He's wonderful. If you want to check him out, he's very, very special.
Well, maybe that's one of the songs we might choose after this now to play on the show, Rira.
Yeah, give me a Rira tune, please.
I will. I'll do that. What are you up to now? What's your latest projects on?
Well, this last year, I'm rebuilding my studio. I've just done an arrangement with Warp Records to release the On You Sound back catalogue. And I'm currently finishing an album with Sherwood, and it's myself and Pinch, who's a really good producer from Bristol. There's a Sherwood Pinch album, again, coming on You through Warp. And last year I did the new Congo Natty album, and done mixes for people like Peking Lights, Django Django, and things like that. New Dub Syndicate album as well, first one for a decade. We've done that, which will be coming out soon as well.
All right, so you're keeping very busy. But hopefully you'll get to some of the games this year down at Upton Park, or maybe you might even get to do a live gig, would you, on the pitch down there?
To be honest, if I go, I thoroughly enjoy myself, but the whole thing, I find it now vulgar, to put it mildly. And it's like just, you know, everyone's dreaming of being a footballer, so they get like a lump of money. You know, these people earn, you know, more in a day than a sub-Saharan African earns in like 100 years. You know, it's absolutely immoral. But I sound like an old whinge bag. I still love the game, but it's just where it's gone now. It's almost like I like watching, you know, youngsters playing or something. I'm not now. Before, I really wanted to go every Saturday and as often as I could in an away game. Now, my heart in it like it was because of the business, not because of the fact I don't love the game still.
I understand there's sometimes an imbalance out there we've seen with the local man, and here I go to support Galway, you know, which is a local
League Division One team, and
they're doing quite well themselves. And believe this or not, Adrian, from tomorrow I'm starting on a soccer coach career with the local under 13 teams that my boy plays
in. That's much more fun. Such a nice memory. I went to the World Cup in 1990 when England were playing Ireland, right? And I told them I pretended to be Irish so I could hang out with the Irish. They weren't letting the English drink because they were all behaving like idiots. And the Irish were just singing. And I was at the airport and out came Jack Charlton.
Right.
Chatting to everybody, like, good vibe. You know, if our manager had come out at the time, bless his heart, Bobby Robson, you know, it'd have been abused. It's just, that's how it's supposed to be, fun and, you know, whatever, and it seems to have gone a little bit out of it. It's all too tense.
Yeah, I guess the Premiership as well, you know, because that's the kind of cream of the crop in England there, and it has lots of players and, well, fantastic footballers take part in the sport, but like we say, it's the money, as some people say, has destroyed the game, but as fans...
I think what you're doing is more fun, you know, supporting the under-13s team, seeing one or two lads coming through are brilliant, and that's more, well, you know, here... They're selling off all the playing fields, etc., etc. You get me going like I'm moaning. I sound like an old moan on your lovely football show. Anyway, thanks for having me on. It's been really nice chatting, and I do hope to get over there pretty soon.
Brilliant, so. Brilliant. I will keep in touch. Thanks very much, Adrian, for speaking to
my
us.
My pleasure.
God bless.
All the
Thank
best.
You. Bye.
Cheers. Yes, sir. Bye. Bye.
You are listening to The Soccer Show. WordPress.com on your radio.
And as requested by Adrian, here is a tune from the Irish rapper Rera with a track called What's Going On.
You are tuned into The Soccer Show on soundoutradio.wordpress.com.
Guest choice music.
Here we go. Music. Yeah. Three.
Stand firm and stick with the Navy. Heroes fade away and never come back. Like pawns in the pack on the dawn attack. We fought back, never ever breaking any knuckles. Keeping these swings and teams undercover. Swipe like a thief in the night, no key. Grabbing anything that happens to be coming to me. I don't run free with the limits they give us. But they don't know me when I'm in it to kill it. I slash down Babylon and any man that's hanging on. Crash down the system and carry on. Got me mind in the knot in the loose mood. Up at the crossroads, stopping the blues mood. What goes on if we fall to bits? Politics is a ball of tricks. Go kick, go kick. To the break of dawn without rest. Running the streets with a police boot vest. Who's next? Roll less with a new death. Go step. Got a god complex, remove it. Tear down the tyrants, liars and rivals. Lose the bourgeois, bring back the pirates. Short sight when your eyes are violent and your mind is silent, apply the sirens. Parasites, propaganda, paparazzi. Powers in perm, Mugabe, Black Nazi. Whole world is in trouble again. Trouble ends when the trouble starts troubling them. These days young braves got guns ablaze. In front of gays, run away, it's a body gun day. We lose track and they're trying to point a finger at the music for that. I'm not moving with that. We'll be right back.
You are listening to The Soccer Show. WordPress.com on your radio.
And thanks again to Adrian Sherwood there for giving us the time to chat football and music. And do keep an ear out for his forthcoming CD. And we look forward to meeting up with him again in Ireland. Perhaps he'll be on tour with the rapper Rera. Now we can meet with today's panel team, Pat Neary and Debbie Wright, to analyse and predict all the weekend's match action.
Have you enough balls to listen to the Soccer Show? WordPress.com. The Soccer Show for fans only.
Oh, what a goal!
Footballing genius.
And it hit the bar. Oh, brilliant!
The Soccer Show.
So, welcome back, Pat and Debbie.
Hiya.
Thank you.
There was a lot of football action since we last spoke, and locally there was some big games. I see Kinvara, they beat Toom Celtic 2-1 there. The under-14s game that was at the start of the second half. McSweeney, he forced home the opener for Kinvara, and 10 minutes later Byrne hit a shot into the top corner to make it 2-0. Toom did pull a goal back, but following an unfortunate ball deflection off the referee's back, his butt maybe, that was then brought into the net by the forward boot, but Kinvara held out to win, and next week they play Ballinasloe Town in the FAI Cup. And I must report on the Kinvara under-13s. Their first home match took place last week at the Kleiner pitch on Tuesday evening. Sadly, we were beaten by a much stronger Barna side, who scored 5-0 in reply. It was a very open game, and it was played in lovely, sunny, good conditions, but it does leave plenty of room for improvement for the younger KUFC side. Cool FC, how did they get on?
They lost to Newmarket Celtic, I see. It's an under-14s match. They lost 2-3.
Title decider.
And I see, I assume that's a Brazilian Adriano. But where Newmarket Celtic? I don't know. I mean, is that the Clare side?
Yeah, that's the Clare League who FC play in. So, yeah, they're coming towards the end of their season, whereas the Galway League is kind of only just beginning. So they cross over there in a bit. But, that's the reports of the two local teams, Cool FC and Kinvara, are out there to support. And, of course, some big Irish results. There was the Cup Final this week there.
Yeah, yeah, the EA Sports Cup Final. Dundalk, who have are having a really good season. They're top of the league at the moment, and they beat Shamrock Rovers 3-2, and as a Northside dub, I rarely get too upset if I hear Shamrock Rovers have lost.
They're doing quite well as well, though, aren't they?
They're not doing too bad. Yeah. Not doing too bad, but it's in the league. It's between Dundalk and Cork.
Yeah.
Really.
Okay.
Cork won, and they're 3 points behind.
Yeah.
There's 4 games to go.
After 28 games, Dundalk are top. They're 63, aren't they? As you say.
Yeah.
So well done to Dundalk. I could give them one of these in the back there. There's a little bubbly there for Dundalk. I'm sure they had a few after the match on Saturday. And other games, you see Drogheda won away at Sligo, St. Pat's. That was a match on the telly. I heard that was very good.
Yeah, yeah, I heard it was good too. I didn't see it. And Athlone drew with Bowes. Athlone are trying to dig themselves out of relegation place. They're in a fight with UCD, and it'll be interesting to see how that finishes at the end of the season.
Bowes had Jake Highland was red carded there, didn't help the cause.
No, definitely not.
And as you said earlier, Cork City there won away at Limerick to keep them in the title race. There's a few forthcoming fixtures coming up there this week. The Bowes, they've got Shamrock Rovers. So.
So that'll be interesting. Always it's always a very sort of a hard fought derby.
Did you used to go to the games?
Oh yeah, I live. I was brought up about half a mile from Dalymount Park. So, and I see actually just in terms of other football news, which you might have put in the news earlier on, is that with the money that Dublin will get from participation in the 2020 European Cup, that the chairman Delaney is talking about reinvesting in Dalymount Park as a proper ground and sharing it with Bowes and Shells, who are the other Northside football team, which would be fantastic. Dalymount is just a great ground, and it evokes great memories. I saw Pele in 1971 there.
Oh, wow.
probably just before he retired, playing for Santos in a friendly against League of Ireland 11. And there's been some amazing games there. It was home to Irish football for before Lansdowne Road. It was the actual official, but it just went into disrepair. And then even 4 or 5 years ago, it looked as if it was going to be sold and turned into a car park. But they've kept fighting away. I know that there's money issues there against the Bank of Zurich. I think there's some loan, but I think they're getting through it. And with that news about Dublin getting the European Championships or the Euro, if some of that goes to Dalyman, personally, I'd be thrilled. I'd hate to see Dalyman go.
Great to see the money trickle down, yeah, to your local team.
Yep.
Cork take on Sligo this week. Bowes play again against Limerick on the 26th. That Derry City play Athlone Town. Drogheda take on Bray Wanderers. St Pat's take on Shamrock Rovers. And UCD take on Dundalk there. So that's top against bottom. In the League One, there was a few games. As I say, I was at the Galway match. They won 3-0.
Okay.
The third goal was a fantastic goal. Brilliant. Great cross. Great header. The other two were goalkeeping errors, really, and keeps Galway FC in contention for the playoff spot there. I see Longford won 4-2 against the Cove Ramblers. The other matches were Shelburne also won.
Okay.
Shamrock Rovers B. I'm sure you'll be happy about that.
Local derby. Yeah.
And Wexford Ewes beat Waterford United 4-0. But that's between Longford, obviously, are running away with the League One, really.
Yeah. Where are Galway positioned at the moment?
Third, 44 points.
Okay.
Longford are just a point ahead of Shelbourne, so they're not actually steaming away with it.
Okay. Right, do we go to weekend or the midweek Champions League games?
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Liverpool got lucky.
Liverpool got very lucky.
They did get lucky, yes. I saw the second half of that match and they were very lucky.
Balotelli managed to score.
Yeah.
He took that well.
All the goals were in the last 5 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Ludogorets were running around a lot anyway. And
good game, yeah. Ludo.
Poor old Arsenal were given
trounced,
kind of a lesson in how to not defend.
Yeah, and our team didn't do no matter, did they? Really?
Well, no. And this is where just in terms of we're only so short into all the various championships now, whether it's the Premiership or these were the first games of the Champions League. But from an English perspective, it's so early to make any decision and a sort of a judgment on where teams are at the moment. I mean, last week before this Chelsea-Schalke game, it looked as if Chelsea were going to win all around them. And, Schalke were, I think they're bottom of the Bundesliga in Germany. I think their whole defence was the second choice defence. It finishes up, a fairly... a deserved draw.
Yeah, well, it was a breakaway goal, wasn't it? It was Fabregas, really, who lost the ball, and the which is unusual because he's been playing very well.
Yeah, he has been playing very well. But it just goes to show that, it's a bit early to be making these rash predictions on where, champions will finish up and stuff like that. It's even Liverpool... even dare I say Man United, I wouldn't be sort of writing anyone in and out yet from the top six or the top seven.
No.
I think it's like they're all sort of still finding their feet, really.
Yeah.
With all the new players and.
Well, it's just that it's hard to figure out. I mean, if you look down here at the Europa Cup group results, Everton had an amazing result against Wolfsburg.
Oh yeah, I saw that game actually on the telly. Yeah,
yeah, that was on Thursday evening, and they hammer them. And then yesterday, they lose at home to Crystal Palace.
Yeah, well, I often mention about the post-European match trauma. not everybody agrees with me, but like Man City, they got beaten. Jerome Boateng scored a last-minute winner there. Fantastic shot into the top corner. Actually,
that's right. Yeah, I did see that. I saw that goal.
What was the actual game like then?
It was actually a good game. It was a really good quality game. I watched quite a bit of it, and Munich were the better team, definitely the better team. But City were always dangerous, and Munich just kept trying and didn't give in, and probably just about deserved their victory.
off on the way. Mm. Well, out of the British team, so Liverpool, your team, Debbie, they did the best, really. They're the ones that got the victory, as lucky as they did, with the injury time Steven Gerrard penalty over them Bulgarian champions. And as I say, in the Europa Cup, Spurs, they only drew at Partizan Belgrade, and Celtic drew away at Salzburg. So Everton, the two Liverpool teams, the two teams that are going to be moving out of Liverpool or moving their grounds, you know, for a while, seem to do the best in Europe this week. Maybe they're going to move to Europe, you know. And then we move on then to the Premiership, obviously.
Well, that was a weekend. I mean, if you were to put a bet on yesterday, you would hardly have put West Brom, Crystal Palace and Leicester in any accumulator.
Well, no, I had a sneaking feeling about West Brom, I did.
Did
I say that? I did, yeah. I've got a good friend, Brian, is a West Brom fan, and we're talking about it. And they hadn't won yet, and I mean, your luck changes.
It
turns around. And again, Spurs had played in a European tie away from home.
Jerry's mantra.
I know.
But yeah. I mean, okay, yeah, but I mean, all right, yeah, but then you double that with Palace. I know Everton's Jerry mantra, but I mean, Palace winning away. And then Leicester to come down from 2 goals down, 2-0 down and 3-1 down. And then to win 5-3 sure, against Man United.
Result of the week, really.
Absolutely.
United's defence was, well, it just wasn't there.
It was fantastic.
Fair play to that. I like the forward, Ulua. Is that
Leicester? Yeah, he seemed, and Vardy looked quite, for Leicester. Vardy had a good game. I saw some of that yesterday before I turned over for the All-Ireland.
I only saw the highlights, but the Angel Maria, great goal.
Oh, fantastic goal.
One of the goals of the season so far.
Absolutely.
Little dinky chip over the goalie there.
Chip. But and then Saturday you had, Arsenal basically took advantage of seemingly a Villa team that have been beset by a virus. Mm. And they,
virus.
Something had broken out. I mean, they're talking about quarantine and a lot of the teams.
Really? Yeah.
They
were all going.
Now, I don't, you know, it's a bit of a, well, it's a good excuse, but I think somebody pointed out that Villa may have been punching above their weight with their form so far, and maybe just a team like Arsenal could exploit them, and they did very quickly. They scored 3 goals in 5 minutes.
Yes, and of course, Welbeck got his first goal, but and Villa take on Chelsea next week. I see QPR Stoke, Mark Hughes. He returned to Loftus Road and a late equaliser there. And of course, a lot of talk about Alan Pardew at Newcastle. He's still in his job. Fair play to him. And thanks to substitute Cisse there, who got 2 goals back to bring them back to a draw. Liverpool again.
There's something.
What happened there, Debbie?
I don't really know. It's a little bit depressing.
It is, yeah. It's funny, I mean, but again, I still wouldn't rule out, you know, that this is a team trying to find its feet, but certainly this seems to be, even their win midweek in the Champions League wasn't very convincing,
that's
and,
the thing.
And they certainly, I know, I was speaking to a Liverpool fan this morning, and he was very depressed at their lack of guile and lack of any type of even if, you know, they don't seem to have sat on a formation. Somebody said that they may have spent all the Suarez money on players that may not just be up to it. They may have spread it too much around rather than getting a good enough replacement. But then again,
or even spending it on good defence. That would have been, for me, where they perhaps needed to spend a bit more money.
Yeah, you're right. But I mean, like, considering, you know, something tells me that considering the fact that they got to the Champions League this year.
They had a good season last year, but that was down really to Sturridge and Suarez scoring a lot of goals. I mean, you know, I mean, they've lost their third league match now.
They let in a lot of goals as well, didn't they, last season, which, you know.
And just to lose their third league match, I mean, that's pretty much the Championship out. That's gone.
Well,
you lose 6 in the season, and they have to go the whole rest of the season now without losing any more games. And to be honest, now,
yeah, it is difficult. It's difficult, but as I say, it's early days yet. It really is. You know, Chelsea are top of 13.
Yeah. Did you see that? Did you?
I didn't see it, no. I actually didn't. I saw the goals, right. And I read a very interesting
post. They had a new signing score for them. Never heard of him before. Man City.
Frank Lampard. Well, that was poetic, wasn't,
well, wasn't it?
It?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
But it had to take one of our own to score against us. That's what I say, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I heard somebody. Did you see it?
I saw the last 20 minutes because I was watching.
Somebody said
Kerry
that we seemed.
The match before.
Somebody said that we seemed to. After being 1-0 up and with 11 men, we seemed to sort of. Try to defend it.
Well, of course. I mean, you're 1-0 up away at City. I mean, what I saw, it wasn't too long when I started to watch the match that they went 1-0. It was a very good goal, Schürrle. It was an excellent goal, you know. And then they hit the post with Costa. If that had gone in, game over. So they did start to sit back. And when Lampard came on, there seemed to be this kind of. They obviously weren't going to get stuck into Lampard, you know, he's their mate, and he was given a bit of room to play.
I don't believe that. I think professional footballers are professional footballers. They, you know, once you're playing for a team, it's. I don't really think.
There was a lot of hugging going on at the end of the match.
Oh, there may have been.
Very interested to know what Cech said into Lampard's ear at the end as they were walking off, which. Lampard seemed to nod in acknowledgement too. So, but a good result for Chelsea. A 1-1 draw away at Man City, who are the champions.
Yeah.
But they was against 10 men, and they did have the advantage, and they did sit back. And Jose Mourinho doesn't like to be seem to be accused of parking the bus, but he is capable of parking the bus. He has a team can park the bus.
He parks it
very well.
You
have to accept that, Josie. And as fans, and as I say, all the Chelsea fans clapped Frank Lampard when they came onto the pitch, and they clapped him at the end of the pitch, just in admiration. The same as they did with Didier Drogba last year, and it was kind of said that maybe Chelsea are one of the teams that recognise some of their ex-players who've done very well for them, and I think maybe a lot of teams do that as well. But anyway, Chelsea's still top. Roll on. Play Villa next week.
Yep.
Man United, as we say, I think they must be the ones that are worst in trouble. All that money they spent, and there's talk now of Falco. If his injury doesn't come up, they're going to rip up the contract and send him home.
Well, I mean, if they can do that, then that's fine. I mean, they're in no loss really in that respect. So, I mean, if I'm sure if Chelsea had the same contract for Shevchenko or Torres, we'd have happily torn it up and sent him home.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we'll move on very quickly. The English Championship, there was a few results there. I see, I'm just going to note on Brighton and Blackpool, two seasiders, and they shared some candy rock there, it says at the bottom, at the Amex Stadium. Fulham, poor old Fulham, don't know what's happening there. They're really out of form completely, losing 1-0 at home to Blackburn. Nottingham Forest there at the top there with 18 points, and it's Norwich and Wolves that are just behind them on 17. In the Scottish Premiership, a round up there, Dundee United, they won the big local derby 4-1 across the road at Dundee. There were victories for Aberdeen and Inverness at home, and Hamilton, Kilmarnock, Celtic and Motherwell all drew. There were some big league scores in League One. MK Dons, who were victors over Manchester United recently, they scored 6 again at home to Crewe. And Swindon beat Sheffield United 5-2, 7 goals in that match. Very good for the fans. In League Two, Accrington Stanley. They won a 9-goal thriller away to Northampton. And across Europe, there, do you see some?
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, Debbie, you see Ronaldo got a hat-trick.
One of your favourites, Debbie, isn't it, Ronaldo?
He's okay. He's a good football player.
He scored 3 as Madrid scored 8, and then I watched Barcelona against Levante last night, and you say about Angel de Maria's goal, Messi's goal for Barcelona last night was an utter peach.
Was it? How did he do that then?
He basically bamboozled the defender just in front of the penalty area. The keeper had come out and flapped at a cross, and the keeper was still out, and he just spotted him still out and chipped it.
Fantastic.
So it was a really good goal, as was the first one. I mean, that's a stunning forward line. When they bring Suarez into that forward line, they've got the Brazilian
Neymar,
Messi, and Suarez.
Yeah. Although it doesn't always mean, but I mean,
oh no, it doesn't. Neymar and Messi are doing enough at the moment to cause much damage. So
Suarez is still banned, is he?
He's coming back in November.
November, okay,
with a brace. Germany, Bayern, Munich, goalless draw.
Yeah, I didn't see any of the German results. No. But I'm just looking at them and
Dortmund, who thrashed Arsenal, they lost 2-0 away to FSV Mainz.
I'd say Bayern will be a bit worried by that. But you would still see them, you know, under Pep Guardiola, you'd still see them holding the trump card in Germany.
I'm trying to adopt his coaching practice into the under-13s, you know, the tippy-tabby pass, but it's taken a time. Carlos Tevez still banging them in for Juventus against AC Milan. He scores wherever he goes, doesn't he, really, that lad?
Yeah.
And Roma with Ashley Cole and a few others, they look good. I tell you who looked good this week, I saw Brahimi. I saw him in the World Cup for Algeria, and I thought he was a star. I think we even mentioned
Rahini.
And he scored a hat-trick in the Champions League this week.
For
Porto, I think it was. It was the team that scored six. He's a fantastic player. Any coach, I'd come and play for Kinvara United under-13s. He's fantastic. Brilliant.
Well, would he qualify for under-13?
we'd get the form. If FIFA can
he's
do that
small.
with the watches... Kinvara United can do that with the age, you know.
Did you ever hear, you know, the do you know the expression stick? He's a stick.
No.
It was a Dublin expression for any schoolboy that was over the age of an underage team. So if you had an under-16 and you have a very hairy under-16, you go, that guy's a stick. And it was just an expression that always stuck. He was like, you know, maybe somebody that was 17 or 18 years old. And he's a stick. So I assume he would have been a stick for Kinvara under-13s.
Well, enough of that. We really have come to the end there of this sort of report at that time. So thanks again to Debbie and Pat and for bringing us right up to date with all the scores and reviews and analysis and predictions. There's a few matches going on next week. Just before we finish, as I say, there's some good games. Liverpool have got Everton, 12:45 on Saturday. And there is Arsenal playing Spurs, 5:30. There are two big games. Chelsea take on Villa. And, of course, we mustn't forget the Capital One Cup this week. There's a few games I see there. Liverpool take on Middlesbrough.
Mm-hmm.
Arsenal play Southampton. Chelsea play Bolton on Wednesday. Manchester City take on Sheffield Wednesday. So they're all heading towards the cup final of that, which normally takes place in around March. So thanks again to Pat and Debbie and there for their views and predictions, and we look forward to hearing all those results on next week's show. But now we can turn our attention to a popular football theme tune with today's reporter Sharon Dolan Darcy.
Soccer Republic is RTE's main football television programme. It is shown on RT2 on Monday nights during the Irish football season, showing highlights of recent matches in Irish football's SSE Airtricity Premier Division and the League of Ireland. The show also features the Republic of Ireland team games and Champions League matches. Soccer Republic is a rebranded version of the previous highlights programme Monday Night Soccer, which aired on RTE TV from 2008 to 2013. The show is broadcast live from RTE Studio 6. Highlights of every League of Ireland Premier Division game are shown, with interviews from the players and managers, followed by studio analysis. The programme is presented by Peter Collins and features ex-professional players and top pundits Paul McGrath, Ray Houghton, Ronnie Whelan, Kenny Cunningham and Keith Gillespie. Among a host of special guests who join the regular panellists include Richie Sadlier, Pat Fenlon, Brian Kerr and Tony McDonnell. The first edition of Soccer Republic was screened in RTE2 at 11:05 p.m. on the 10th of March 2014 and featured Irish management team Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane. Here for you now is the theme tune of the show.
The Soccer Show.
And thanks again to Sharon Dolan-Darcy for her excellent music reports on The Soccer Show. And listen up for her at any time on a new radio station channel somewhere near you in the very near future. And now we're coming to the end of today's programme. And for this week, let's get the final words in with Pat and Debbie. Yeah.
Season runs from August to May and most games are played at weekends. Match attendances and fixtures, promotion and relegation in the league table.
So as I say, nearly run out of time there. Pat, you said you watched the final, did you, on yesterday?
The All-Ireland football final, yeah, watched it as I always do, that on the hurling, but certainly English football or soccer wouldn't be shaking in its boots at if they had to watch yesterday's game, because it was probably the worst All-Ireland in 20 years.
Was that a replay?
No. It was the replay of the hurling is next Saturday between Kilkenny and Tip, but the All-Ireland football was won by Kerry for the 37th time. They beat Donegal by a goal yesterday in a game that lacked any real merit.
And what would the attendance have been at that game?
80,000.
Wow. And how much would a ticket be for that?
80 euros for a stand and 40 for the hill, right. 16 terrace.
Have you seen what they're doing at our local Cool Vacancy GA ground? They've dug it all up.
I saw that actually, yeah.
I saw that too, yeah.
Whole new pitch going in.
It's a whole new pitch, and they've been doing the same up in Thomas's in near Peterswell as well. So, I mean, what happens, I mean, it's a separate code altogether, but what happens with GA and the money is that it does all filter back to the small clubs and the that's what happens. I mean, so basically, that's where you get a lot of funding and stuff like that from the big games like the All Ireland yesterday.
Oh, that's good. It goes down to grassroots. And Debbie, you played at Wembley once, didn't you?
I did. I played with the England hockey team when I was at school. I used to play a lot of hockey, and got chosen to go and do some training with the England women's hockey team.
Right,
in Wembley, yeah.
And what year was that?
That would have been, don't know, the 80s anyway.
Right, I was just wondering if Billy Bremner and Kevin Keegan's shirts were still thrown there around the ground from that fight.
That was a bit ahead of that. Back in the 70s. That was 74.
Oh, was it? Oh, yeah. God, showing my age here on air now, you know. But so, just looking forward to the football coming up this week anyway. Liverpool, as I say.
And Everton kicking their butts. Yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah, big game that.
Yeah.
That would be a great game to go to, wouldn't it, really,
I suppose. Yeah.
They say them derbies are... Mm.
Yeah, that certainly. And I'm going to London next week.
Oh, yeah? Great.
I hoped that there might be a London Champions League game on, but there's not, actually. And I think the only games that may be going on might be midweek championship games, but...
Are you over there for music reasons?
I am.
Great.
I am, yeah.
Anything interesting?
Well, probably for the first time, I'd say, in 30 years since I saw Michael Jackson, I'm actually really thrilled to be going to see a gig. I'm going to see Kate Bush.
No!
Oh,
fantastic.
Oh, Pat Neary, how did you wangle that?
Yeah, that deserves that.
How did you wangle that? I bet you're backstage as well, are you?
I don't know.
A friend of mine saw her, the bass player from my band, and said it was absolutely fantastic. Very little production. It's very...
Yeah.
Yeah. I've
been trying to avoid any reviews or hearing about it as soon as I got the ticket. It's the last show that she's doing. She's doing 22 dates. And
that's the 22nd, isn't it?
It's the 1st of October. It's the last show.
Wow. Mm,
brilliant.
Oh, well, fair play to you. I know, that's one of your all-time favourite artists, really.
Yeah,
so
she would be, yeah.
Rightly
yeah.
so, you know, to go there. Yeah. So. Well, Wuthering Heights to you, mate. Anyway, that's it. I'm bored now. I can't top that one. All right. So, no, Liverpool, Everton.
Yeah, well, no. If there was football on, I'd certainly go on the Tuesday. But I don't think there is any game. I actually did check. I did check to see if it was there a game. And I assumed... I think Arsenal are even playing away again. Anyway, you know, so
you wouldn't call that football though.
No, I wouldn't, and I think I'll have enough with music this time.
Oh, great! Well, have a great trip, you know, and so we look forward to seeing you back on the show here. Soon enough, anyway, aren't you? And thanks again to Debbie. We've run really right out of time, you know, so we better wrap up and say thanks to the GRE TV studio and to Sound Out Radio, together with today's great team, Debbie Wright, Pat Neary, Sharon Dolan Darcy and Michael Brown. And thanks to you, all of you out there, for tuning in. And from myself, Jerry Mulkerins, we leave you with a song from Byron Lee and the Dragonairs, and it's titled Simmer Down. So until next week, have a good one, and reminder to like our Facebook pages and feel free to share the podcast at any time on thesoccershow.wordpress.com. Goodbye to you all.
The Soccer Show on your radio.
Out on Facebook at Sound Out Radio Station. Contact us at Twitter at Sound Out Radio 14. Email us at soundoutradio@gmail.com. You are listening to The Soccer Show. WordPress.com on your radio.